Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast, and we're a weekly podcast where we discuss everything film, and we pick a topic every week, and then we list our favorite movies of that topic. This week's topic being favorite spy films. So, I'm Ricardo, I'm one of the hosts, and we have...
I'm Jenny.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
There we go, we got four hosts for you guys. And, let's start talking about what everybody's seen this week. Any new movies you guys have seen in theaters, anything?
I saw My Week with Marilyn.
How was that?
All the performances are great. I think everybody does a great job. The movie's good. I guess on a rating scale, I would pay a matinee price to see it, but I definitely won't see it again. But I do have to say Michelle Williams and Kenneth Branagh are fantastic in both their roles.
Okay. And now... If it was playing on Netflix, would you see it again for free?
Yeah. If it was on Netflix, I'd stream it for free.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
It was just okay?
Yeah.
Just okay?
It was matinee good, right?
I heard that if it does really well, that Harvey Weinstein wants to make a musical.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's based on when she was making The Prince and the Dancer, yeah. Prince and the Dancer with Laurence Olivier, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And I heard they want to make like a musical and they want Katy Perry to play.
Oh.
The Marilyn Monroe part.
Wow. Hey, you know.
So would you see it then?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think Katy Perry would do a fantastic job as Marilyn.
She kind of scares me. Her eyes, like, her eyes are just so big. I feel like she's just going to eat someone someday. Like, she's just waiting to pounce.
I could see that.
But I'm okay with her. She just kind of scares me a little bit.
Have you seen anything in theaters?
I'm trying to remember. It's been a weird... week. I don't think I've seen anything. Maybe come back to me. Let me think if I've got any screeners or anything. I can't remember. I don't remember watching anything.
Well, we just saw Shame, which you want to talk about it first?
It's probably about 50% sex. I was going to say 60, but I think I'm going to go with 50. But you get to see Michael Fassbender naked, which is a great plus.
He's not Jewish, I tell you that.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
And I was wondering.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, now we know.
We were all wondering, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially, I mean, during the beginning of X-Men First Class.
Yeah. That's true.
You know.
And turns out Magneto didn't have any nude scenes. Yeah. They would have had a CGI.
Yeah. But it was good. I really enjoyed it. Another, you know, if you guys have learned my taste, you know, within the last three podcasts, it was kind of really kind of slow and paced really well, and there's a lot of, you know, silent moments that, you know, I love. So,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
very little dialogue.
If it's anything like Steve McQueen's first film, he has a lot of silent moments. Yeah. During
what was his first film?
The Hunger, the Fassbender film about the guy in prison who goes on a hunger strike.
Oh right. I still haven't seen that either.
It has some fantastic moments. It has this one scene that's 20 minutes of dialogue and only one take, like just one shot, and it's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do like those takes. He does some of those takes in this film. And yeah, it was really good. I definitely pay. We went to the Arclight, and I would suggest you pay that, you know, $13 to see it. And as one of our friends, he's on a Arclight strike where he's not going to the Arclight. Because it's $3 for parking now, which I don't mind. It's a dollar more. Come on.
So you would pay $16 to see this?
I would pay $16 to see this.
Okay.
It's a good movie, yeah. So.
Yeah, I would too, probably. I really liked it. There were parts of it that I was kind of like, it's got to go somewhere. Yeah. But then it went there, and it was what I wanted, so I won't give anything away. But it was good. Then.
How's Carrie Mulligan?
She was good.
She was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her because she's so... like average compared to
that's
other...
an interesting that compliment
is, that is an interesting compliment.
I she's so normal.
So tell us about your average.
She's very relatable.
Yeah, that's
there
the
you
word.
Go
that's
yeah.
A better
yeah,
word.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah.
There you go.
I like Carrie Mulligan and I really like Fassbender.
He was great.
I think the only new movie I saw was Rare Exports, which I did watch
on DVD.
Yeah, I rented it.
What is Rare Exports?
It's Finnish, I want to say.
Mm.
Finnish movie about Santa Claus. They find Santa Claus, except it's like Santa Claus is evil.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
And how was that?
It was really interesting. I really liked it.
And you said it was streaming or
rental? It's not streaming.
Oh, rental.
It was a rental.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's
definitely worth the rental.
It was worth the rental. Yeah. I didn't mind having to go out to the video store to get it. But I mean, I go to Video Journeys and Silver Lake, and I love that store. So any excuse to go there is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to go there all the time. That's the one that's on the second level, right?
Yes.
In what is it? What city is it? Los Feliz?
Well, I mean, Los Feliz is a neighborhood. I mean, it's that weird, ambiguous part of Hollywood where it's like
almost Atwater.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I love that place, too. We used to go there all the time, but...
It's a great store.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And so Adam, do you have a streaming of the week, a suggestion?
Well, since this week we're doing spy movies for our top five favorites, they just put a bunch of the James Bond movies on streaming. So it's like a best of.
Take your pick, right?
Yeah, a lot of the Roger Moore movies and then a good handful of the Connery movies. I think not everything. They got a lot of Connery.
They have a lot of Connery.
Yeah, nothing from Dalton or Brosnan, I don't think.
I think actually they just put GoldenEye on there. So I think
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think just that one from Brosnan is on there.
I vaguely remember seeing that they had On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which is George Lazenby's a really good James Bond. If you haven't seen that one because it's George Lazenby, you should see it.
Excellent. I'm going to check that out.
And Telly Savalas is Blofeld, so.
Yeah. Telly Savalas is good in everything.
Yeah, he is.
Creepy guy, but he's cool. So should we get to the topic of the week? Yeah?
I think we should.
Sounds good.
All right. So the topic again being our favorite spy films. Again, every week we list our top five, five to one being our favorite. And then we do five honorable mentions. So why doesn't Adam take the lead this time?
All right. Well, speaking of James Bond, my number five is 1964's Goldfinger.
Fantastic.
I it's one of, with the Bond movies, it's really tough to pick just one, and I didn't want to just pile my list full of Bond movies, but I think Goldfinger is definitely one of my favorites. Like that and GoldenEye, kind of two gold movies that I just really love, and I really like From Russia with Love also, but it's just kind of confusing.
Yeah,
Goldfinger's like that perfect where you start to see what James Bond the franchise is. It's got like the intro song Goldfinger, which kind of sounds a little bit like Moon River if you listen to it again. And I mean, Arik Goldfinger is a great villain. You've got Pussy Galore, the ultimate Bond girl, and you've got Sean Connery, the ultimate James Bond. Do you really? And the scene with the girl dipped in gold, It's just got so many iconic moments. I think it's one of the most iconic James Bond movies, like second to maybe You Only Live Twice.
I wonder what the process of painting her gold was.
Just as long as they didn't paint the soles of her feet, I think they're okay.
Yeah.
Or that with the small patch at the back on your back so you don't get skin suffocation.
That's right. You do need a... Oh, wow. I forgot about that. So as long as you have a little area...
Yeah, you need a patch of skin that's not painted so that your skin can breathe. Otherwise, you'll die.
Oh, wow. I learned something new. I didn't know that. So in case anybody, you know, next year is going as Goldfinger... Or, you know, what's the alien in X-Men? I'm drawing a blank here.
Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler, yeah. If you're going to Nightcrawler, don't paint the soles of your feet.
Or Mystique.
Or Mystique, that's Mystique, right. Yeah. You'll die. So. But, all right. So, Jenny, your number five.
All right. My number five was 96, Mission Impossible. And that one's my favorite out of all... of so far Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible 2?
Well, that one was a close second.
Oh, I bet.
Really? I thought a close last.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's what makes me worry of this new one, though, because if you look at the series as a whole, the two movies that are good are the ones where he has short hair, and then he's got he's got long hair again in this movie, so it's like, I don't know.
You make a very good point.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the patterns.
It's like that Demi Moore theory where all the movies where she has short hair are better than the movies where she has long hair.
I could get on board
like,
with that.
Like yeah, Ghost, sure, Ghost versus Striptease.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, why only half of G.I. Jane is good?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, which is the first one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just all those gadgets that he has and how he does his own stunts and the crazy action sequences. I love everything about it.
That's Brian De Palma, right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember getting a lot of backlash when it came out. Like, this isn't Mission Impossible.
I think it's because all the stunts, you know? It wasn't a, you know, thinking man's movie. It was more of an action movie. So I think people got upset over that. That it was, and also, it was kind of, I mean, he had a team, but the movie felt like it was the Tom Cruise movie instead of the team, which the show was.
Exactly.
But I have no problem with it. And the new one feels like it's more like the team. And I feel like he's going to leave after this one. And I feel like if they do another one.
Contrary to popular belief, he's getting pretty old.
Yeah.
He might need to take a break.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible soon is going to be like going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, I hear a Mission Impossible. I heard Jeremy Renner's taking over.
Really?
Yeah, the franchise.
Okay. That'll be good.
That'll be interesting.
I like Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, I do too.
So.
Then for your movie, it's got a great John Reno, John Voight, Bing Rhames. Emilio Estevez getting that claw in the eye. Spoiler alert.
I wanted more of Estevez. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he's in this. I can't believe this.
That was when I was way into Emilio Estevez when I was a kid. And I loved like Minute Work.
Yeah.
Young Guns. Well, I saw he was in it. And then, 10 minutes in? I'm like, really? Really?
Well, for me, it was like finally these two actors from The Outsiders reunited.
Exactly.
I was waiting for, you know, for Rob Lowe to come out, maybe a little Swayze, but wish didn't come true.
I've heard that Swayze and Swayze and Tom Cruise didn't get along on the set of The Outsiders.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's interesting. So if he did show up, he probably would have been a villain. But we'll never know.
Interesting. Mm. Well, my number five is 1994's True Lies.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
I went with a lighthearted action movie.
Okay.
And it's James Cameron. How could you not? It's fun. It's Arnold kind of. I would say like it was at his peak. You know, he had that right tone of funny. It was right before he kind of had that fall and he started doing like Jingle All the Way and all those kind of.
Hey, I like Jingle All the Way.
Okay. It was right before that.
I love How Bad It Is.
Well, if you love How Bad It Is, then yeah, I'll support you in that.
And Phil Hartman's great.
He is.
Yeah.
Thanks for making us all sad.
Appreciate his greatness. Well, don't think about the other stuff.
Yeah. But I love it. It's really lighthearted and it's funny and it's got a lot of cool action. And I love Tom Arnold in this movie. He's just so funny. He plays his sidekick and he's great. I don't know why there's like three other screenwriters listed as writers on this movie. I don't know if it's a remake of a French movie.
It is, right?
Yeah. Okay, I wasn't sure. But I love it. It's fun, and I waited so long for the sequel to this movie. And
I know. I'm still waiting.
I know.
It could happen.
Well, it could happen. Yeah.
After Avatar 3. This is my number 3. So.
Yeah. So. Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love True Lies.
Oh wow.
I remember seeing it in theaters. It's Tom Arnold's great. How long they've been talking about a sequel since like 2 years after it came out.
Yeah, exactly. And I really love Bill Paxton. As the
sleazy car salesman.
Oh, and Jamie Lee Curtis is looking amazingly hot
in
this movie.
She does. She doesn't start off that way.
No, not at the beginning.
I don't like her. What's going on? Why does he have like kind of like a homely looking wife? But then she turns into that. I forgot her character's name. Her fake stripper character's name.
Oh, but, I don't remember.
But she, you know, well, magically that showed us that magically, if you find a pot of flowers. You could turn sexy because you'll rip, you'll make your dress shorter, you'll slick back your hair.
Yeah, that water won't dry, I promise.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's not gel, but it's water, but still, water. It won't
dry. It was
dry.
The stuff that they put in the water to make the flowers stay alive. That's what made it stay alive.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And you know, the chemicals in it made her really relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, the plant food. That
just tear your dress off a little bit.
Yeah.
It'll be all good, for sure.
But she's really good looking in that.
Way good looking.
And one of the techie guy, I think he's...
Oh, Grant Heslov,
yeah. He's George Clooney's co-writer and producing partner.
Yeah.
But he's great in it. I love
him in Congo.
Oh, yes. Congo has some great cameos. It's got, like, Bruce Campbell.
Elijah Dushku plays
their daughter. Elijah Dushku, yeah, that's right. Yes, she does. She was really young Elijah Dushku.
Charlton Heston as their boss.
With the iPad patch.
Oh, yeah.
The Omega Sector was the branch, the CIA branch that they worked for.
I like when they come in and the secretary's got the shotgun behind the desk on him.
in case his password isn't correct. She's going to shoot him. But
and then another prime area at this point was that I was a big fan of Tia Carrere, or Carrera, however you say it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was a perfect time for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She kind of went... She's not big anymore, is she? She kind of went nowhere, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't she think of the last thing I saw her in.
My Teacher's Wife and that's with right. one of the London Brothers. And what was that? She was in Call the Conqueror.
Oh, wow. She was a good-looking gal.
She still is. She just hasn't made many great movies.
Yeah. But she was in True Lies, so she was. She always can say she was in a James Cameron movie. All right, so Kevin, your number five.
My number five is coming from 2007, and it's The Bourne Ultimatum.
Oh.
That's my number one.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's my number four, so.
Okay. Well, then we're going to be talking about this for a little while, I guess.
I'm glad I left Bourne off the list, because this would have been a really short podcast.
It would have, yeah.
And it's Ultimatum for you, Jenny, as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird that we all picked the same movie in the Bourne trilogy.
Well, I mean, I think...
Well, I guess that speaks
in that trilogy, as every movie goes on, they each get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what Paul Greengrass did with that after he took over from Doug Liman... He just created the pacing that is the Bourne movies that just keeps going and going. There's like no slow moments. It just keeps moving. And the way he shoots it and has it edited, it's fantastic.
And I feel like ever since he made those movies, now every spy genre movie kind of wants to have that like handheld Paul Greengrass feel to it, which they can't replicate.
Yeah, it's like, let's, when they did the new Bond movies, like, let's do the Bourne Bond.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And now I'm curious to see, because they're doing The Bourne Legacy with Jeremy Renner, which is a side story, I heard. I heard they did it that way so that they could do another Bourne movie with Matt Damon. So it's kind of like a side story in the same like Treadstone type of...
Is Matt Damon going to be in the new one?
No. He's not involved, but the writer who wrote most of them...
He wrote all three.
Tony Gilroy. Mm. He's also directing this Bourne Legacy. He said that he specifically made it so they could come back and do a Paul Greengrass Bourne movie with Matt Damon.
Oh, nice.
Hmm. Nice.
So Renner's going to have a Bourne movie and take over the Mission Impossible franchise?
Yeah.
He's going to be really busy.
And he's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And the Avengers.
He's everywhere.
Not too shabby for that guy.
Yeah.
But I love this third film in the movie. I love Joan Allen in anything.
Yes.
And she's great. She's got like a really powerful woman in the CIA and she's just
she
such
does a great
I
job.
Love that she's the one that's like the most powerful out of all of them. Like I love that part.
Yeah,
of
and I like how she kind of outwits Noah Vosey.
Yeah.
That's great. David Strathairn.
David Strathairn. Mm-hmm. And I love David Strathairn as a bad guy.
He's great.
So he's kind of like he's really well spoken like bad guy.
And then Albert Finney as the guy who programs Bourne.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I like the villain in this. He only comes up for a little bit, but it's Edgar Ramirez of the Carlos fame of the miniseries.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Edgar Ramirez.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally blinked on that.
Yeah. And I think he's a great actor. And it's a fun movie. It's just fun. It's really well paced where it's not too slow. It's not too fast.
Yeah.
It's kind of like... Everything's clear. In some spy movies, you're like, who the F is this guy?
Yeah.
Is he a guy? And then, but this, even though it's got the handheld feel, it just, everything's clear. Everything's clear. Even the action scenes, everything's really clear where some new action, you're like, who the hell's winning right now? And who's fighting who?
Yeah, but the Bourne-Desch fight, everything, you know what's going on in every, like, every move that's happening in that fight.
And it's very like raw and gritty and you know, they're using books as weapons and it's a really great fight. And
those crafty spies improvising with what they can fight with.
And I also love his sidekick, what's her name, the girl?
Julia Stiles.
Julia Stiles, yeah. She's great in it. And my favorite part of this movie, too, is the fact that they linked it to the ending of part two is really the middle, almost the end of part three.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was like planned from the beginning of part two, the end of part two, or
I need to go back and rewatch this because I knew that I had a feeling they were going to pop up, but I just haven't seen them in such a long time. I just kind of left them off because I figured someone would get them, and I was right.
Yeah, yeah.
I should watch all three of them, like, in a row, because I know I've seen all of them a millions of times, but I've never watched them all three back-to-back.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be something to do.
I feel like the Doug Liman one, the first one, kind of, it's hard to get through now because you're like, if Paul Greengrass had directed that one, it would have been so amazing.
It would have been, yeah.
I really enjoyed the first one. I
it is really
enjoyable. I remember when it came out. It's like, Matt Damon is a badass. And like that scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin where they're talking about like, not how they never thought about
he's
it.
He's like, I used to think
Matt Damon kind of was a Streisand.
He was a Streisand.
It's a perfect scene.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I mean, I already like Matt Damon, but he, that was like, all right, you can kick some ass, dude. Yeah.
And you have Clive Owen in that too.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. And Chris Cooper.
Chris Cooper. I think every move, every one of the series takes like a brilliant veteran actor and puts them in that role, like Brian Cox in Supremacy.
Oh, he's awesome. And yeah, all the cast of those movies is really well cast. The writing. I don't know if you read this in some of your research, but I heard that they kind of went in without really knowing how they were going to film it. Like, it wasn't a complete script.
That's right.
And Tony Gilroy would send new pages every day, and then they would kind of improvise. Like, Paul Greengrass would also kind of improvise and go, hey, for tomorrow's day, write this, this, and that. And so every day is one of those movies where, of course, they get greenlit without a full script. But these guys know how to do that, and they perfected it. And also, they have a really good writer, which is Tony Gilroy. I think he's one of the, you know, better writers out right now. And he, you know, just going on the fly, like writing every day. Here's a new page. If you want it, check it out. And yeah.
I mean, I'm only the writer.
I'm only the writer, but, you know, whatever. But, you know, I love Tony Gilroy.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic.
And I'm happy to see the new one. I'm happy that he got a chance to write and direct the new one. So excited about that. Anything else you guys want to talk about that movie? I feel like I went crazy with that. We hit something.
I love the fact that Paul Greengrass had a cameraman jump across building to building through a window. I thought that's just brilliant. And sorry for the poor cameraman.
Yeah. And it's funny because it wasn't a cameraman, actually.
Was it a stunt guy with the camera?
Yeah, I just recently rewatched they air them on like USA or something. But what I like about that cable channel is that they air them without, they don't cut them up. They air the full movie.
Okay.
And also during commercials, they show you some of the special features from the DVD. And that was one of the features, which I guess Paul Greengrass was like, I have an idea. Why don't we just jump through? It was a cinematographer, I'm sorry. And the camera guy was like, I don't want to do that. And then he's like, hey, you, stunt guy, come here. Can you hold the camera? He's like, sure. He's like, all right, then jump through that window. So, you know, it's a great shot.
Yeah, it
really
is.
Awesome cinematography.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are we at now?
So
are we at four?
Number four?
Yeah. We went crazy with number five.
Wait, so what number of that? That was your number
five? That was my number five.
That was my number four.
And your number one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So my number four is The Ipcress File from 1965. It's a Michael Caine spy movie. It was kind of like a sort of response to the James Bond movies. Mm-hmm. The main character is Harry Palmer, and I kind of prefer the Harry Palmer character to James. Like, James Bond is the cool, slick, stylish spy, but Harry Palmer's Michael Caine being all witty and funny, and I don't know, there's just something about The Ipcress File, I kind of like it a little bit more than the James Bond series. I love the James Bond series, but The Ipcress File is a great movie, and it's a series unto itself, but I haven't seen the other two movies in it. There's Funeral in Berlin and Billion Dollar Brain.
Same actor, same lead actor?
Yeah, all Michael Caine.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And I love The Ipcress File. It's great. If you haven't seen it, you should check it out. It's not really, like, it's not on Netflix. Like, even the DVD isn't on Netflix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, you gotta find a fancy video store. Like Video Journeys or nice video store wherever you live, wherever you're listening, and find The Ipcress File because it's a great movie.
Yeah, or you could just order it on Amazon.
You could do that too, but I mean, some people might not want to buy it. Not,
but you
blind.
Know what? Nowadays,
I think it's
on
really
Amazon,
good.
Their movies are two DVDs are $2.
Good point.
So, that's true. Yeah.
You should go buy
and
that.
And we want maybe Amazon could sponsor us someday. So
we love you, Amazon.
Go out and get your Prime membership and start ordering movies.
There you go. So the sequels like really back to back, or did he?
They were pretty close. Yeah, I think they all came out in the '60s. I think the last one was 69, is when Billion Dollar Brain came out.
Oh wow!
Yeah, they were pretty quick with them. And if the other two are anything like a press file, I can't wait to see them because it's just so fun. And they're trying to do a little bit more than the James Bond movies. The James Bond movies are more about just the cool aspect of it, and the Ipcress File is a lot more espionage, figuring, it's more of a whodunit, like figuring out what's going on, and they're dealing with brainwashing, and it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more challenging than the James Bond movie.
Interesting. I'm going to put those on my list.
I was looking and doing my research for this week, and I had never actually heard of the Ipcress File, and I came across it and I just started reading about it and I said, I need to see that movie because it just sounds like a good spy film.
I really enjoy it. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, it's like James Bond meets The Conversation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go.
You had me at The Conversation. You got it. I'm definitely going to watch that. So that was your number four?
Correct.
Okay. Jenny.
All right. My number four is from 98, and it is Ronin.
That's how you say it, right? Damn you.
Fantastic.
That's my number two, so let's talk about this. Everyone's talking about my damn movies.
Sorry.
You get to talk them too. It's okay.
Yeah. I actually just saw this movie because I was doing research for this, and I can't believe I haven't seen it before that because the whole cast is fantastic. Like, everything about this movie is something that I would want to see, and it was awesome. I love movies that have all those, I mean, obviously in almost every spy movie, but all those, this person's really good at first and then they switch over and they're actually bad, and you know, what's
all the double crosses.
Yeah, double crosses. That's the word.
Double agents and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love it. And it's got that girl from Californication where she's actually
Natasha Mikkel.
Yeah.
McElhone?
Yeah.
McElhone?
McElhone?
However you say her
something
name.
Like
right.
That.
She's something. Whatever. However you say her name, she's good. She's in Californication and Solaris.
Yeah, Solaris.
In this.
John Frankenheimer.
Yes.
You can't go wrong with John Frankenheimer and a car chase.
Yes. Well, so, he's got that big hard-on for Rendezvous that he likes to emulate over and over again.
And it's a great movie. It's really, you know, all the cast members. It's got De Niro. It's got John Renault. Yes. It's got Sean Bean.
Yeah.
It's got
Stellan Skarsgård.
As the we won't spoil it. He's been out for a while.
Yeah.
And he turns out to be a villain, and it's awesome, awesome movie. The car chases, if you notice, I was watching special features. If you watch Robert De Niro, he looks terrified during the car chases. How they did it was they had a stunt guy drive right next to him. And it would just be a close up on De Niro. So the car's driving that fast. They're really doing it. It's just that De Niro's not driving. So, you know, you could tell that he looks scared as shit. So,
and they use the same car that they use in that Rendezvous short, don't they?
Yeah.
That Mercedes.
Yeah. And I was reading also the interview with the guy who played the I'm drawing a blank here. The guy who played the getaway driver, the actor's name is Skip Sadeth.
Okay.
He played Larry, the getaway driver.
Mm-hmm.
He asked John Frankenheimer if he could really drive in the movie. He asked him, like, can I do the actual stunt driving? And he said, you can do it, but if I see a brake light while you're doing the stunt driving, you're out. So he had to learn how to, like, do precision driving. So
that's awesome.
That is great.
And a little fact about this movie. What's his name? David Mamet wrote it. But he took a pseudonym. He took, I think his pseudonym in this was like something like Richard Weiss or something like that. Because I guess he had problems with the studio. He was fighting with them or something. Richard Weiss was a pseudonym. And he took his name off, but he used his pseudonym. So I don't know the exact story with what happened, but I know he wrote it himself.
Okay.
Beginning to end, but he didn't want to take credit as his name. So
now that I think about it, like just thinking like that opening scene, that so has Mamet style written all over the dialogue, just the way that the characters acted out.
Well, most of this movie is just like talking, car chase, talking, yep. car chase. So,
and only Mamet can just do the talking so well. Where you're totally fine with that.
Exactly.
You're like get through the car chase, get back to more of the talking because this dialogue is so great. Yeah.
And
what color is the boathouse on the lake?
Yeah. Oh, I love that scene.
Or the scene where De Niro dictates his own surgery.
Oh,
I love that scene.
Yes.
I love that scene. He's like, you done? Okay, I'm going to pass out.
Yeah. I love
it. And Jenny, is John Renault going to appear on your list like every movie?
I know.
He's in this
one I know. I actually thought about that. I was like, he just does spy movies, apparently. He just makes the best Russian or
Frenchman or Italian.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can do it all.
Foreign in general, yeah.
Yeah. So that was your number four.
Mm-hmm.
That was my number two. So number four was the Bourne Ultimatum. So it's to you, Kevin.
Okay. So for my number four, this is actually kind of going back to Adam's number five, because I have a Bond film, and I was trying to think of which Bond film I wanted to go with. So I went with the only Bond film I've actually seen in a theater and just loved the way it was. It is the first Bond film, so I went with Dr. No from 1962. Sean Connery is fantastic in this movie, and the guy, Joseph Wiseman, who plays Dr. No, is just a fantastic bad guy. I love the opening with the three blind mice, and when they do the first time I saw that, I went, this is interesting, and I just love the way that it all played out. I love a lot of the Bond movies. From Russia with Love is confusing, but it is good. Thunderball is good. Goldfinger is fantastic. But I like that style of film, and I like the way it kind of plays out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially with the Sean Connery movies, it was, if any one of the Bond movies was going to be on my list, it was going to be a Sean Connery Bond movie or GoldenEye. But GoldenEye was more nostalgia because that's the first one I remember seeing in theaters.
Okay.
And the video game brainwashed
me. Yes. So I'll do that too.
Now, what do you guys think of the new Bond, Daniel Craig?
Daniel Craig? I like Daniel Craig. Yeah. I remember my only, because I like him as an actor, and I remember Layer Cake. I loved Layer Cake. So when I heard he was playing Bond, my only thing at first was superficial, like, but he's blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my only issue. I'm like, that was it.
But no, I think he's fantastic. I mean, he created his own Bond and didn't go along with the Bond that we've known for years now. And so I think he does a fantastic job, and I think Casino Royale is great.
I do too. I'm excited for the new one, which is a Sam Mendes movie. Yeah.
Seriously, Sam Mendes Javier Bardem as the villain.
Yeah,
and Ray Fiennes as a, I don't know if he's a villain or a good
he's
guy.
In it.
He's in it. That's all that matters. Good.
And what's her name? Is the Bond girl? She
Naomi? Is it Naomi?
Naomi Harris.
Harris. That's Harris.
From she was in 28 Days Later.
28 Days Later, yeah.
And she was in The First Grader, which I really like.
Yeah.
Just came out this year.
I'm waiting for the new one. I like that the fact that with the writers, they have the British writers do like the first pass, and then they have an American writer do like their, you know, his second pass.
Yeah.
And for the first couple movies, it was the, I'm trying to blank here, the guy who did In the Valley of Ella.
Oh, Paul Haggis.
Paul Haggis, yes, for the first two. And then now they have John Logan of Aviator fame.
Oh, really?
Doing the rewrite, the American screenwriter. So, anyway, I'm excited. I like the screenwriter. I like the director. I love the cinematographer.
Yeah.
So, I'm on board. So, all right. Where are we at? Number four?
We're at number three now. And my number three was True Lies. So.
Oh,
nice. So. Oh, okay. So, it's me. My number three was Munich from 2005, actually. And I don't know. Everything about this movie, I just, like, was in awe the whole time. I actually didn't know the story. It's based on a true story. I didn't really know anything about the story. Mm-hmm. So seeing the whole movie play out was awesome. And it was probably the first time that I really wanted to like Eric Bana for a really long time. And this was probably the first movie that I actually liked him in. And
why did you want to like him?
Because he just has such a nice face. I don't know. He just seems like a nice guy.
I'm not saying you
shouldn't
like Eric Bana, but it's just...
I really
wanted to like
him.
So you didn't
like
him until this movie?
Yeah.
In spite of wanting to like him?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
You know he's a comedian originally.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Oh, really? I didn't know that at all. I wouldn't see him as a funny guy.
That's why people, when people are like, oh, he's in Funny People? Why? It's like, well, he's a comedian. What are you talking about? He did stand-up in Australia, so... I love him. So what? So you like? It's got such a good cast. Munich.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Everyone in it.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
So
as a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which is good. He can play a Jew and he can play James Bond.
Well rounded.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have one problem with this movie. It's the sweaty sex scene.
Yep.
That's my only problem with this movie.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Well, it's like that one shot at the end of the sex scene where it's flash dance in reverse.
Yes.
Where he just waves his hair up and like all the water's like, what just happened? Yeah. Why? That one shot. That's the only reason. Like, I know it's a good movie, but that's the only reason I didn't even consider it. Because I'm like, that's the thing that sticks out in my mind is that flash dance shot at the end of
the to say, that's the only reason because that's the first thing that popped in my head was that scene. And I went, oh, that's right. Because otherwise the movie is fantastic.
Right,
it's so well done.
I can think of all the scenes that are really good that should have it on this list, but that scene sticks out. But then like there's the scene with the pen guns when they go to get the girl that kills Kieran Hines, spoilers.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, just Daniel Craig in general. Daniel, anytime it's Daniel Craig and Eric Bana just talking back and forth, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, too, I like the fact that you say the spoiler, then you say spoiler. You're like, he dies at the end, spoiler. Like, it's like you're reverse engineering the spoiler.
Whatever. They get the point.
I know. If you haven't seen the movie, goes, you know, shame on you. And if you...
Well, if you haven't seen the movie, once he gets back to America, stop watching
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. The movie's over.
The movie ends
there. You will love it if you stop there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I love it. I'm on board. I love it, except for the sex scene. So
yeah.
If they could somehow just edit that out, like, I'm good, and then cut it once he gets to America. Cut it.
I just want
to
know what was going through, like, Spielberg's head. He's like, yes, this is what I'm going
to
do.
Talking to the cinematographer, Johnny Skaczynski. He's like, okay, in this scene, he's going to be really sweaty. And
I've got this prop girl with a bucket of water, and she's going to keep dumping it on him.
It's the combination of bucket of water, half. It's like half bucket of water and half KY jelly. And it's going to make it really shiny, and it's going to look really good, guys. Eric Bana, come here. Dunk your head into this thing.
Have you seen Flashdance? That's what we're doing.
That's his inspiration. So that was your number three.
Yeah, three.
Okay, my number three. My number three is 2001's Spy Game.
Nice.
It's a Tony Scott film. I dig it. I dig, you know, some people don't dig Tony Scott. I think they think he's
he's made some very good movies.
He's made some good movies. And I love Spy Game. It's Robert Redford, you know, seasoned, you know. I like older Redford for some reason. But Brad Pitt, it's got an awesome cast, awesome director, and it's such a good the vehicle and the way the movie is told, you know, like the movie's told through flashbacks.
Yeah.
He's at a meeting. He's telling how he met Brad Pitt's character, and then everything's done. It's a spy thriller and he's busting moves in that room while he's in that room.
Yeah.
I feel really bad about it not being on my list because I was struggling with it all the way here, like up till the point you pushed record. I was like, should it be on my list? I don't know. It should, but it shouldn't, because it's like a greatest hits of spy movies.
Oh yeah.
It's like it's got stuff with the Berlin Wall during the Cold War. Yeah. It's got stuff in Beirut. It's got the stuff with North Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's got the stuff within the CIA and Brad Pitt and Robert Redford acting opposite each other.
Ugh.
Great.
Yeah. It's what really is there good. To say? It's a fun movie. It takes place, it takes place like in the 80s, I think. The Robert Redford part.
Yeah.
You know, before he starts telling the flashback stories, but you know, the car he comes in just from the beginning of the movie when he's like calling the guy and he's like, you know, get to the office, and it's just such a great movie. He's got the old timey cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
The block.
The Zach Morris phone.
The Zach Morris phone, yeah, the one that actually gives you cancer. That actually produces radiation.
Yes.
But it's a really fun movie. Just the vehicle and how it's sold again. I just love that everything's done. Everything's told through the point of view of Robert Redford. But it's all told from that office, and he's having meetings, and he's trying to scheme how to get him out. And it's just, you know, check it out if you get a chance. It's a good spy movie.
And I mean, his character is so smart in that film that he's throwing out lies at times while he's telling the truth, lies that they're believing. And then at the end of the film, they're like, wait, no, I thought this and I thought that. And
Yeah. Like, he's talking about like his wives and like, I thought he was divorced, but it's all part. And it's funny because he's making things up, but he's such a good spy that he knows what lies he's going with and how to cover them. And then when the secretary calls at the end, it's like, is Operation Dinner Out still a go?
Yeah.
And he's like, yep. It's
And watching Redford do that, it makes me think, like, this is what his life is like, making movies. Like, I feel like he could do this, like, just playing the game of making movies and, like, wheeling and dealing within Hollywood is what Redford's character in the movie is like.
Yeah.
I can see that. Just sitting down at a table with a bunch of execs, and he's just sitting there like pitching movie ideas and probably changing things right in the moment.
On the spot, yeah. I have a coworker, and you know, it's also one of his favorite movies, and that's our thing. Like, you know, what are you doing tonight? Oh, Operation Dinner Out. And, you know, like, you're going to date with your girlfriend. I get it. So, but no, I love that movie, and that's my number three.
Okay.
Kevin. Good pick.
Yeah.
Yes. My number three. I had a dilemma with this because I wanted to put one of this director's movies on here, but I went with probably, I think, one of my favorites is North by Northwest, 1959, Alfred Hitchcock. It was honestly between this and Notorious for one of these coming on being in the top five.
I was counting on you for this.
Me too.
Thank you. You chose wisely.
That's what I'm here for. I just love Cary Grant's fantastic as playing that that everyman character with mother issues, who just gets sucked into the situation by accident and he just goes with it. And the relationship with him and Eva Marie Saint is fantastic. Yeah. That train ride and just how cool he plays it, and the dialogue and the way he talks to her is great. And then, I mean, James Mason as the villain with Martin Landau as one of his henchmen. Great. Great stuff. Yeah. I mean, when I first realized that it was Martin Landau who was one of his henchmen, I went, that's awesome. Yeah. The scenes are fantastic. I mean, climbing around Mount Rushmore. Spoiler.
So many.
I don't think iconic, that's. That's on like it's on the poster.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. But just the fact that he's not a spy and he's getting he's going through all these scenes that a normal spy would go through, and he's going with the flow.
Yeah. And I like all the such iconic shots. The biplane chasing him, and just such a great movie. And I'm glad you picked it because I was like, someone's gonna pick it. I'm not gonna pick it because someone's gonna do it. So I'm glad you did. But it's a good choice.
Yeah, that's a definite honorable mention. And then it was interchangeable with the movie for me, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
what are we on now? Two? We're on two. Two is Charade, another Cary Grant movie. Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn, 1963, Stanley Donen. I love they pitched it as the best Hitchcock movie that Hitchcock didn't make.
That's true.
Growing up, I always thought it was a Hitchcock movie, so it made sense to me. But I mean, it's so fun and so good.
Wait a minute. It's not?
It's not. It's Stanley Donen.
Yeah, it's not Hitchcock.
Okay. This is a revelation to me then.
Yeah. It's a Stanley Donen movie.
Oh, wow. So.
And they pitched it like one of the posters, the tagline was the best Hitchcock movie that Hitchcock never made.
Well, it is. It is. They remade this movie, correct?
Yes.
With Mark Wahlberg and Thandie Newton.
The Truth About Charlie.
Uh-oh. Charade. Yeah. I call that one Charade. Just so I could separate the two. And, it's not the same movie. The one's Charade.
Yeah. It's a little bit disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but not for lack of trying. But you can't it's Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn. You can't recreate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
That was a one-time only thing.
Cary Grant's the man.
He is. He really is. Yeah. I mean, that persona that he just brings to the screen is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then, on top of Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn leading the cast, it's got just Walter Matthau, George Kennedy, James Coburn. It's got a great cast. Actually, okay, so this is kind of sort of backtracking. We got a note on our iTunes page that we should describe the movies more. We don't really talk about the plots of the movies that we're telling people that we love and that they should watch. So should we do that somehow? Like micro summarize?
I think we could do that.
We didn't do it this time.
But actually, you know what? I'm just gonna cheat. I'm gonna read off of IMDb what the description of Charade is. It's romance and suspense in Paris as a woman is pursued by several men who want a fortune her murdered husband had stolen. Who can she trust? And it's all about who done it and why, and all these different people claiming to know her dead husband and trying to figure out what her husband did and how he got this money and what he did with it. And it's just so much fun. And Audrey Hepburn is great. I like Thandie Newton, but Audrey Hepburn.
No.
There's only one Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's no Audrey Hepburn.
She's not.
So. And that was your number two?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
All right. My number two was the Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Which is really?
The surprise. Yes, the first one.
That is a surprise.
Surprise. That's what I went with. I had to go with a comedy. I'm a comedy kind of person.
Yeah, but there's...
Oh, I love it. I love it. Every part of it. I love it. It's that dirty humor that I need in my life sometimes.
I can't do it anymore. I think it was too late in my life for that.
See, it came out like the perfect time in my life. For that to be popular to my generation.
I enjoyed it at the time. No, I mean, I loved it at the time, but it was too late in my life to endear itself to me.
Yeah.
In spite of the sequels.
Okay.
So if the sequels hadn't come out, maybe. But the sequels
I like the second one, okay. The second one's all right.
It has bits and pieces.
The third one, I pretend didn't happen, but...
I wish.
But
and I heard there's a new one coming out.
Yep.
So. I didn't know that.
Well, he's trying, you know, he's like, you know what, this is the only horse I have, so I got to run him in the race.
I would rather see Wayne's World 3.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be on board for that.
I would rather see him in a drama. I mean, come on, he's fantastic when he can do dramatic acting.
He's in 54.
Yeah.
He's in...
He said fantastic. Not 54.
But he is in 50.
Okay. I'll love me some Ryan Phillippe, all right? So get over it.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it. He'll come up in my guilty pleasures.
I didn't know we're talking about those kind of guilty pleasures.
This is probably one of my guilty pleasures, I would say, I guess.
But, I mean, the first one, International Man of Mystery, is the best of the series.
Oh, yeah. The cast itself is fantastic. I just love everyone in it. It's when Mike Myers was in his 90s prime. So
when this movie came out, I was listening to a radio station. He was on there. And the DJ kept saying, Mike Myers in a new movie called Austin Powers. And he wouldn't do the rest of the title. And each time, Mike Myers would go, International Man of Mystery. So it was really funny. But no, I enjoyed it. Is Will Ferrell in the first one or the second one?
Yeah. Both.
Yeah.
Oh, then he's...
Yeah, because in the second one, they go in the past so they can bring him back.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because, spoiler alert, he dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
In the first one.
Takes a while.
Technically, and the second one. So he couldn't be in the first one, but whatever.
So wait a
minute. Physics of time travel.
So the second one is the one that has time travel?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah.
Because Rob Lowe's in the
both of them
too.
Have time travel.
Oh, okay.
They both do.
Yeah.
Beyonce's in the third one, right?
Yeah.
So I don't like that one.
Don't talk about that. Yeah. The second one is with... All right, see, in spite of talking shit on them, I remember the second one, The Spy Who Shagged Me, mm-hmm. with
Heather Graham
as Felicity Shagwell.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or Felicity Shagwell. And that's the one where he goes back in time with the Volkswagen bug.
Oh, yeah.
And he brings her back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where we meet Fat Bastard. And that's the one where they go to space.
Yeah.
Oh,
it gets
that's
me
right.
every time. I just can't help it. I love it.
I do like me some Fat Bastard. I like that he likes the baby back ribs.
The whole scene where they're talking about all the different words for penises is just hilarious. Every part of it. The Johnson, I don't know, Wiener.
Wait.
The Woody. It's just great.
Just as far as, we'll say, I don't want to, maybe after everyone's done, then we can come back and revisit some other spy comedies that I would have put in place of this. I don't want to steal anyone else's thunder from their list.
Okay. Right. But let's
some really good spy comedies out there.
Write that down so we don't forget. But I do like me the scene. I like part two a little better when he tells Dr. Evil that he'll trade him the money that he owes him, Fat Bastard, if he could have his baby.
That's right.
You could have your money, keep your money, if you let me have your baby. And he wants him to eat him. He's a damn cannibal. So that always, you know, I find it funny that he wanted to eat the baby.
Okay, so maybe the cockles of my cold, dark heart are warming to Austin Powers.
And then he goes,
just as long as we can all agree that the third one is terrible. Even though it has Michael Caine in it. Because I love Michael Caine, but... Yeah.
Michael Caine speaking English.
And
English.
Fred Savage. Fred Savage is in number three, too.
With the mole, right?
Mole.
I always had a trouble with mole and mole. Like a mole, like a face mole, and like mole in the wall.
Mold.
See? See?
Those are two different things. A mole is on your face. I'm sorry. A mole. M-O-L-E. Mold with a D. You got to do the D.
I always had trouble spelling those two. I could spell there, and there fine. Or yours and your, but mole and mold.
You have trouble with that D.
Yeah. Yes.
So
I hope there's not a D in your next movie.
I know. But I do like me some Austin Powers.
Wait, so that was number two?
Two.
Dos.
My number two was Ronin, so I will skip my turn and go to Kevin.
Okay, my number two comes from 1965, and it's The Spy Who Came In From the Cold.
Ooh.
It's based off a book by John Le Carré, and it's directed by Martin Ritt, and it has a fantastic performance from Richard Burton playing an older spy who doesn't want to get put behind a desk, so he takes this last mission where he has to trick the second in command of the Communist Party in East Germany into killing the main guy, who's the head of the Communist Party in East Germany. And What I love about this movie is it's not fast paced. There's no action scenes at all. It's all just Richard Burton at times having to play like an alcoholic drunk to get people to believe that he's been fired. It's got just fantastic performances from everybody. And the ending of the movie is great. I love the ending of this movie because it just hits you and you go, holy crap, and then it's the end.
I know we said that spoilers are okay, but I actually just rented this, so don't tell me what it is.
I won't. No, I don't, because I love the ending of this movie, and if you haven't seen it, I don't want to ruin it for you because it just hits you.
No spoilers for the group.
I've started watching. Yeah, the group is special. The group is sacred, but everything outside of the group, I'm sorry, you're not in the room. So.
Exactly.
But the beginning, I've watched the beginning twice now, and it's the beginning, it starts at the gates between East and West Berlin. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. Just that opening shot with the music, and it's just setting the tone. And then you see Richard Burton's character. Richard Burton's character. And seeing him pacing and waiting for this guy, and you're wondering what the hell's going on. And then just the way it plays out is great. And that's just really the start of where the story goes. And just the complexity of the story and how people can just backstab you and use you as a pawn on a piece of a chessboard is fantastic.
I now I have to see it.
Yes.
Second movie on my list for this.
Please check it out. It's great.
And it came up in my research and all the lists that I looked up, and now I have to see it. Damn you, Kevin. Put another film on my
list.
So you're number two.
We're on number one now.
Okay. So why don't we recap your films?
Okay. So I had Goldfinger, which James Bond.
Number five.
And then after that was The Ipcress File.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had True Lies, which you said first.
Yeah.
And then Charade.
Charade. Not to be confused with Charade.
The Truth About Charlie.
Yes. Charade. Yeah.
I think it's just more confusing if you call it Charade.
Okay. Don't see the Mark Wahlberg movie.
But hey, you can say it, and that's important because there's a D in that word.
Yeah, charade.
There you
Yay.
Go.
Yay.
Which brings me to my number one, and to pick up where Kevin left off, 1946's Notorious by Alfred Hitchcock.
Nice.
I love this movie. This was one of the first Hitchcock movies I ever saw. And I think even though I had seen it, I saw it after I saw Mission Impossible 2, which totally stole like 80% of the plot of this movie.
Yeah. Yes.
I still prefer Notorious.
Well, why would you prefer? Why would you prefer a John Woo movie?
Why would I?
No, I'm saying there's no reason that you could there could be confusion. Like, well, I might.
No, but in my mind, because how old was I when Mission Impossible 2 came out? Okay, and it's got explosions and doves and people holding two guns.
Yeah,
I like the doves was a factor in it. It's got explosions, it's got doves,
doves flying at you like every other John Woo movie.
Yeah. Now. If he stopped doing that, I'd be upset. I'd be like,
where's the doves?
Where are the doves, man?
You sold out. You sold out John Woo.
I know.
There were no doves and there was no rock music.
I saw the
and he only held one gun.
I saw the trailer to the new movie he did, that epic, like...
What was it, Redcliffe?
Yeah, Redcliffe. And I'm like, please, trailer, have the doves. And bam, it's got POV dove vision. And I'm on board. I can't wait to rent that.
I just love that he's trying to find new ways to bring doves in. I mean, what was that one where he had like the giant dove and now he's got the dove vision?
Oh, the dove was, that one was in Paycheck.
Paycheck, that's right, with the giant dove.
Yes. Oh, God. You know what? We just confessed we saw Paycheck.
We went off track. Let's rein it in.
Let's bring it back to a good movie.
So Notorious is amazing. Not any doves that I recall in it. Pretty sure I don't see anyone hold two guns either.
Nope.
But it does have Mr. Cary Grant. I think this is his third time on this list now.
Yeah.
He's Cary Grant in it up. He's Cary Grant. He's awesome. And then his leading lady is Ingrid Bergman, who I love. She's amazing.
Yeah. She's great.
Really,
she's
one
great.
Of her best performances, I think.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
Okay, honest. I just have to interject. Honest mistake when I was a kid, when I was really, really young. I used to confuse, when I was really first getting into film, you know, like 12, 13, I used to confuse Ingrid Bergman with the director.
Ingmar Bergman.
Yes.
I mean, that's
understandable.
It's a couple letters.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Who directed The Seventh Seal? I don't understand what's going on.
Ingrid Bergman.
Is it Ingrid Bergman?
Yes. She directed The Seventh Seal. She was in Casablanca, and she was married to Roberto Rossellini or whatever. Yeah. Isabella Rossellini's dad.
Yeah.
Who's her daughter. And directed Wild Strawberries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's that good.
All in one lifetime.
Just kidding. None of that happened. But no, Ingrid Bergman and Ingmar Bergman, two different people.
Yeah. Well, my 12-year-old version to think it was two people.
It's understandable.
So. But no, it's a great movie.
Yeah, and Claude Rains.
Yes, oh. Claude Rains.
It's just all three of them at the top of their game.
Yeah.
Cary Grant plays a spy working for the government who's trying to convince Ingrid Bergman to go undercover with an ex-lover or an ex-friend of her father to get secrets from him. He's working for the Nazis. He's suspected to be working for the Nazis in South America. And it's amazing. It's so good. Hitchcock at his best.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and the chemistry between Bergman and Grant is fantastic.
Seriously. He put him with any woman and they're really good together, but like certain people, like yes. Him and Ingrid Bergman, so good.
So good.
I'm going to make this observation. I don't think there's a movie where there's Nazis involved that isn't a good movie. That you're like, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Good movie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
you're trying to shine a light on
the I'm Nazis. Just saying, every time you put Nazis as bad guys, you got a good combination for something good.
Isn't there some zombie Nazi movie?
It's probably really good. We should check it out.
Oh, yeah.
The Dead Snow.
Dead Snow, that's right.
So,
it's funny.
Was it good?
And they make Indiana Jones references.
Oh, that's nice.
Then here you go.
It's funny. I like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My observation still stands.
I'm sure if we sit here long enough, we can probably think of
a little. Let's not.
Let's keep your dreams open.
5 hours later. I found one.
Yeah. Good German. Nazis.
Oh,
all right.
Boom. Not a good movie.
Still, it's one of my favorite directors, so I can't really. Okay. It's not his best.
You can dislike
which,
it.
You're good German. In watching The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, I'm like, they totally ripped off The Spy Who Came In From the Cold.
Yeah.
And The Good German. And didn't do as well as the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was your number one then.
My number one, Notorious. Great movie. Go see it.
Jenny?
My number one was already said, but do you want me to do a recap anyways?
Yeah, do your recap.
Okay. So, let's see. I'm going to have to turn the page real quick. Because I have a bad memory. Okay, my number five was Mission Impossible. My number four was Ronin. And my number three was Munich. Then my number two was Austin Powers, The International Man of Mystery. And my number one was the Bourne trilogy, but my favorite I listed was Ultimatum. So we'll go with Ultimatum.
That was my number five. No, my number four.
Your number four.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my recap is True Lies, number five. Bourne Ultimatum, number four. Spy Games, number three. And Ronin, number two. Oh, Ronin. I love me some Ronin. And number one is 1975's 3 Days of the Condor. Another
good movie.
Robert Redford movie. It's directed by Sidney Pollack, who I love. My Sidney Pollack. He's a great actor and great director.
Yes.
The synopsis is basically Robert Redford. He's like he does the boring stuff for the CIA. You know, he's like. He kind of does like research and stuff like that, and they work in this. Their cover is that they work in this like historical building in like New York,
mm-hmm.
And he goes to lunch, comes back, and when he comes back, everybody in his CIA group is dead, and you know he's on the run. The killers are after him, and basically it's he's got it's a whodunit, who killed these people while on the run, and you know hopefully the CIA doesn't think he's in on it, so. And his code name is the Condor, and he figures it all out in 3 days. So, hence 3 Days of the Condor. And it's got a really cool cameo by Michael Caine as an assassin.
I don't remember Michael Caine's cameo.
It's yeah, I don't remember his cameo, but...
Yeah, he was one of the assassins. And on IMDb, they kind of effed it up, and they didn't they spelled it wrong, I think. Because Michael Caine's with a C, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
He spelled it wrong. But or maybe they didn't even credit him, but he's in it. He has a cameo in it. And Cliff Robertson is in it and Max von Sydow.
I love Max von Sydow.
Yes.
He's in a lot of the movies by Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's great in those.
Yeah. And also Faye Dunaway's in this as the she kind of gets caught up in this whole thing. She's not a CIA agent. She just gets caught up in it.
I feel like they talk about this movie a lot in Sid Field's story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Because of the way he structures the film.
Yeah. And there's a really it's a very 70s sex scene with Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway.
Soft focus.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's really like soft focus, music, kind of, you know, like jazz a little bit, and really bright lights on them.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I think that's like the picture on the poster.
It is
from the sex scene.
Yes.
And it's that soft, blown out, bright lights, big hair.
Big hair. You know, people would mess up their hair when they had sex in the 70s.
And he's got his perfect sideburns.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, so Robert Redford was on your list twice.
Yes, Robert Redford twice.
Cary Grant was on my list twice.
That just
anyone else have? John Reno was on Jenny's list twice.
And
who was your repeat, Kevin?
I don't think I actually had a repeat.
Oh, come on.
You got to sit in the mush pot.
I'm sorry.
But again, one of Sidney Pollack's, I think he might have been his first movie he directed. But it's, you know, I love me some Sidney Pollack. Like I said, I really liked his last film too, which kind of, it feel has a little spy thriller feel to it, which is Michael Clayton. What's his last movie he acted in? Which
I was going to say, he didn't direct
that. No. He just acted in it, but
I don't remember Sidney Pollack in that movie.
He played his boss.
His boss, yeah.
Clooney's boss.
Okay.
They're shredding all the paperwork in the
office. Oh, right. Yes. He was very good in that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I forgot you, Sidney.
But again, like, you know, I got a chance to. You were there when he spoke, right, at the film festival, the Playhouse West.
No, I wasn't.
Oh, that's a year you didn't go.
Yeah.
Was it? But I heard him speak, and he had really cool things to say about like all the. It's funny because he'd said he kept acting because it was a way for him to spy and see how the other directors directed, because you know he was always not. He wasn't really always confident with, you know, his way of directing. But I loved it. And he talked a little bit about Husbands and Wives and Woody Allen. And
get in the car.
Yeah. And his audition and stuff. But great actor. Great movie.
I loved his commercials telling you to turn off your cell phones before the movies, where he comes in and directs the guy's phone call.
Yeah. He's great in that. But again, 3 Days of the Condor, my number one. And Kevin.
Okay. So I will do a quick recap. My number five was Bourne Ultimatum. My number four was Dr. No. My number three was North by Northwest. My number two was The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. And my number one is from 1962. It's The Manchurian Candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this movie. The first time I saw it, I think I had to go back and watch it again. Cause
Denzel Washington, he's great in it.
Yeah, I know. Denzel Washington is fantastic. I mean, he does such a great job in the film.
No, we're talking about
the 1962 Frank original. Sinatra. Yeah, directed by John Frankenheimer with Frank Sinatra and Angela Lansbury playing an amazing villain.
Yeah.
Basis of the story is... we have some gentlemen who come back from a war after, and we have Raymond Shaw, who gets awarded the Medal of Honor for saving several people from his squad, and his commanding officer at the time, who was Major Bennett Marco. When he comes back, he starts having this nightmare where he starts seeing Shaw kill several people from the squad in front of a bunch of communists. And because of that, because of this recurring dream, he's trying to figure out what's going on and what actually happened to them when they were missing. And as the story plays out, we find out a lot more. And I just have to say, Angela Lansbury is fantastic in this film. I mean, she's so evil, and the fact that she's manipulating her own son is fantastic.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra losing his mind. Great. I mean, I know we brought up Frankenheimer and how he does great action. He does great films where the characters have psychological issues.
Yeah.
I mean, Seconds and this, and just playing around with psychoanalyzing characters is fantastic.
Yeah. And Meryl Streep that played in the remake?
Yep.
Yeah, she plays.
She had the mother. Was it me, or was there like a weird like incest like feel to that scene with him and her and the actor?
Liev Schreiber.
I always felt like, whoa, they're kind of like. She's like touching him and like combing his hair.
I don't remember that one. I just remember it not being as creepy. John Frankenheimer's version is so creepy.
It is.
Especially the scene where, what with the spoiler alert, the scene with, what's his name? Lawrence Harvey and Janet Leigh by the lake.
Yes.
That is probably one of the creepiest scenes I've ever seen in a non-horror movie. Just ridiculously unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he does such a fantastic job. Throughout the movie, he's trying to make it unsettling, because when you actually find out where they're going in the story, it's so fucked up.
I don't understand why the remake, it was like not even 10% as unsettling as, it's like, well, let's just leave that out. Let's just make it kind of, oh, he's paranoid. We don't need it to be creepy. the creepiness is one of the best parts of the movie. When Frank Sinatra's having the flashbacks of being in the room brainwashed by the Korean doctors, North Korean doctors, and just sitting there calmly watching someone get shot in the head like it's no big thing.
Those scenes are so unsettling because, I mean, just imagine putting yourself there. That's just awful. And when they remade it and they took away all that, you took away all the greatness of the film. Because being brainwashed to become killers, to kill some important person, that kind of sucks.
I was iffy about putting this on because I was just, a lot of the movies that I was thinking about or noticed on other lists, I was like, I don't really feel like that's a spy movie. This is one, Manchurian Candidate was one of the closer ones. Like, that's more of a spy movie because of the espionage and his mother. I would say that his mother's the spy.
She's the spy in it, because she's the spy for the North Koreans.
Right. But then, like, movies that I would, like, La Femme Nikita, I kept seeing pop up, and I don't think that's a spy movie. She's an assassin.
She is an assassin, not a spy.
Yeah.
The American, which I love, that George Clooney movie, Anton Corbin, which is a great movie. I don't think he's an assassin and a gunmaker. He's not a spy. I saw a lot of lists where non-spies were popping up on best spy movies.
I also had trouble keeping them off. I was like, that's not a spy movie. Never mind.
Yeah, I kept second-guessing myself.
Yeah, I almost put something on my list, and then I realized, no, that's more about the French Resistance than about spies.
Which was?
Army of Shadows.
Oh, yeah. I almost put that on the list as well.
It could have elements of it, but it's not a spy film at all.
Yeah,
But anyway, going back to spy comedies, which there was a couple that almost made it on my list. Spies Like Us.
Okay.
Which I do like better than Austin Powers. You got Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd being trained as dupes or being trained as decoy CIA agents. And it's Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd just being hilarious.
Yeah.
So much fun. And then, but even more than Spies Like Us, Top Secret.
Oh, that was...
Love Top Secret. Skeet Surfing?
Yes.
Val Kilmer. Oh, I love Val Kilmer. But that movie's so, so funny. And there's French Resistance in that too.
Yes, there is.
There's an awesome, awesome spoof movie.
Yeah.
With the spoof Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoof Elvis. They spoof Surf Rock.
Yep.
All the Resistance movies. It's such a great movie.
It is. I still think Austin Powers, I'd put that over Top Secret at least.
Really?
Yeah.
Just for Val Kilmer, or well, not Val Kilmer, for the two Frenchmen in the cow suit. Or the entire underwater saloon fight scene.
Yep.
All right, you got me. That's true. I'm going to jump. I'm going to be a jumper on this and switch over.
But again, Jenny brought me around to acknowledge that I can appreciate Austin Powers, the first one, and maybe even the second one.
Do you want to go over your honorable mentions?
My honorable mentions. Okay, so I had Spy Game. I had Ronin. GoldenEye would have been an honorable mention, but like all the James Bonds just kind of blend together. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Yes, that was one of my honorable mentions.
But he was kind of an assassin, I guess. So again, that's why I left it off my list. That would have been actually my number five, but I took it out just because I felt like he was more of an assassin. But no, it's definitely in my honorable mention.
There's just this fine line where it's like they're not. I mean, they're doing covert type things, but they're not spying. They're just going to kill someone.
Yeah. But they were still kind of doing spy stuff. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. Clooney's first directing movie, right?
Yeah.
And Charlie Kaufman's script.
Charlie Kaufman's always good, script, right? And
Sam Rockwell acting up a storm.
Is so good in that.
Yeah.
When he's doing the dating game and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon are the ones that get picked over the spy, the chubby, homely spy.
That might be a good little topic. I think it'd be too fast to have best cameos in movies. But they have really good cameos.
Very good cameos.
Yeah.
And the only, I think, only weak spot, I didn't, weak actor, was Julia Roberts. I think we could have done with a better, not a better actress, but a different actress. But anyway, they had just worked together on Ocean's 11, so that's why he put her in. But Sam Rockwell, I love me some Sam Rockwell.
He owns that movie.
Yeah. He does.
I've loved Sam Rockwell, honestly, like, no joke, since Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Oh, of course. He's great in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That one line that he said, or no, he's got like two lines.
Yeah.
But he's so good in that little teeny tiny part.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing him pop up in something else. And like Charlie's Angels. I'm like, oh,
that's right.
That's the guy from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Or in Galaxy Quest. He's so good in Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to go on to more other honorable mentions.
Go for it.
Okay. So I kind of felt bad leaving off Jack Ryan. I have no Jack Ryan movies because he's a CIA agent, but he's like more of a desk. He's more like the Robert Redford character in 3 Days of the Condor, where he's not really a field agent. He just kind of ends up in the field.
Yeah. But still, it's definitely a spy movie. It almost made my list too.
Which one though?
Mine was Clear and Present Danger.
Clear and Present Danger would have been on my list.
Mine, I was like, I want to get the double whammy, and I was going to do Hunt for Red October because then you got Sean Connery in there.
That's true. For my money, Harrison Ford's the best Jack Ryan, you know, and then to do with John Clarke, the other big character in Tom Clancy's novels, Willem Dafoe as John Clarke.
That I remember seeing *Clear and Present Danger* in theaters, and just he was Willem Dafoe. Like, I love Harrison Ford, but that was like Willem Dafoe owns that. Whole section of the movie. He was just so badass.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna lie, I do kind of really like *Some of All Fears* too.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, it's good.
I just think, Liev Schreiber kicking ass.
Yeah.
And like, as John Clark carrying Ben Affleck's ass through winter in Russia.
Yeah,
that's a great scene.
Again, I always like John Clarke, the John Clarke character, a lot better. I also read the novels. Did anybody else?
I've never read.
I have not.
They're really interesting, and I love me some Rainbow Six, which the lead for that is John Clarke's character. And I always wanted Liev Schreiber to play young John Clarke was great, but in the books he's a lot older. He's like more seasoned, and Willem Dafoe would be like perfect right now to like play that movie. And I keep waiting for my Rainbow Six movie, which never comes. Yes, I love me some Clear and Present Danger. What would be your pick?
It would have been Hunt for Red October.
Okay.
But again, that was mostly because I wanted to have Jack Ryan with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Because that's just, I had a tweet the other day where I was sitting watching these movies and I realized you've got James Bond is Indiana Jones' dad. Harrison Ford played Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan saves Sean Connery character from exile in Hunt for Red October. And it's just like this full circle where I was geeking out. I amused myself with that.
And Alec Baldwin is awesome in that too.
Alec Baldwin is awesome. It's just such a great movie.
Who directed that one?
Is it McTiernan?
Maybe, yeah. I know Philip Noyce was the last three. Yeah. The middle
hold
three.
Hold on. Fill some time while I...
Well, Jenny, why don't you go over your honorable mentions? Or did you have more honorable mentions?
The Mission Impossible, the first one.
Yeah.
I love that first Mission Impossible. Just
again, Robert Downey,
the guy who plays Kittredge. Like he sells that movie for me because he plays that perfect like pseudo villain where it just makes he ups the stakes just enough. I'm like, I'm on board.
He's also in Clear and Present Danger as the villain, and he does such a great job there as well.
Yeah, he always. Plays
he's the real. He's more of the real villain. Well,
yeah,
he's more of a villain in Clear and Present Danger than he is.
He's the actual villain in Clear and Present Danger, whereas in Mission Impossible, he's kind of a pseudo.
That character is really awesome, and I like all. He's a great desk jockey villain.
Yeah,
he's just so great. Like he's just like a desk quarterback, you know.
John McTiernan did direct.
John McTiernan. Okay.
And wait. So what's his name? The actor that we're talking about.
What? Oh, I don't know. We should look him up. He's a character actor. He doesn't really do like big leads.
No.
But he's a great. He looks great in a suit. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Anybody?
He's got great hair.
Yes. Yeah. Any other ones in your honorable mention? By the way.
That was it. Okay. I just stopped because it could have gone on, and then the weird spy versus assassin line just kept.
Yeah. Jenny, your honorable mention?
Most of them have been said, like Spy Game and True Lies. I love True Lies. And I wanted to throw in Enemy of the State. I'm not normally a big Will Smith fan, but, or some of them, obviously, but that one just came at a time when I loved Will Smith, and so I could watch that every day when it came out.
Well, it's a Tony Scott film. That's what it's got going for it. And it's got Gene Hackman in it.
Yeah, yes. And Gene Hackman.
Yeah, playing the old spy.
And it's got all those cameos of, like, the people in the truck, like Seth Green and...
Jack Black, right?
Jack Black.
Barry Pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Busey and Scott Conn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the comedian, I don't know if we mentioned him. Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie Kennedy, right.
And Jason Lee's in that randomly.
Yes. Jason Lee, that's right.
Yeah.
Hold backtracking one sec. The actor we were just talking about is Henry Czerny, Czerny, and he's quite good, and he does have great hair. If you IMDb him,
that is a great shot. His hair is
magnificent. That is a good shot, yeah.
If you're thinking, hey, you know what? I'm going to the barber soon, and I don't know what hair.
Oh yeah, definitely get the Henry Zerny.
Yeah,
just get. I'm going to start. You know, getting haircuts by the names of character actors.
If I was white and had straight hair, I would totally get a Henry Zerny, but yeah. I don't. So
or Steve Buscemi to the side.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah.
My honorable mention is of course Mission Impossible 1. Body of Lies, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, but
I never saw it.
I really enjoyed it.
I never saw it.
It was fun. DiCaprio, you can't go with DiCaprio.
It just seemed like it was a movie of them talking back and forth on the phone.
It was good. I enjoyed it. You should check it out. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, and another Robert Redford movie called Sneakers.
Oh, damn it! That was the only movie I thought no one was going to mention, and that I was going to throw in my honorable mentions.
And again,
that was the first movie that I thought of when we came up with this, but then a week later I just blanked on it.
Back to Born, Davis Strathairn plays the blind.
Everybody. Sidney Poitier is in it, and he's fantastic.
Yes. You got
Dan Aykroyd,
Sidney Poitier, Robert Redford,
River Phoenix.
David Strathairn.
Ben Kingsley.
Donald Logue. Playing the Russian.
That's right.
Spy. He's not Russian. His assistant is Russian.
That's right. But he's great in his
role. And then what's her name?
Oh, geez. From Battlestar Galactica. I can't think of her name.
Dan Aykroyd. I like Dan Aykroyd in that because he...
As mother.
He has mother.
He's really great.
The conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, and you know, he's a conspiracy theorist in real life. So it's kind of creepy. But everybody's great. Mary McDonald's in it, yes.
Mary McDonald.
That's what
we're
thinking of, yeah. Oh.
And, Phil Alden Robinson directing.
Yeah, yeah. I he's done a lot of spy stuff, so mm-hmm. I dig him.
I love that throughout that movie, River Phoenix, all he wants is just to have a genuine good relationship with a woman, and that's like his only thing that he wants throughout that movie.
River Phoenix, just, you know, character actor in that movie, and just great. So
I like Timothy Busfeld and Eddie Jones as Ben Kingsley's two henchmen.
That's right.
I love Eddie Jones. He's a great character actor. He's like an older sort of portly-ish gentleman. I mean, he's not a fat guy, but he's bigger, and he just kind of plays it well. But he plays Martha's dad in A League of Her Own.
A League of Her Own.
I love him. He's so great.
Yeah. Kevin, you want to do your honorable mentions?
Yes. So my honorable mentions were Notorious, Spy Game, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, Top Secret, and Sneakers.
Oh, there you go. Nice. So. Excellent. That was a good. Sorry again for going over an hour, guys. All the listeners, we're 17 minutes over an hour, but you know, hopefully you had fun. And
we did.
I know. I did. I don't know about everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
I did.
Good.
Yeah.
So, good on you.
So again, you could find us at Twitter. No, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Whoa,
on Twitter.
That was weird. Yeah, I'm used to that at thing. So you could find us on Twitter at The Film Podcast. You could follow us there. You could go to the website where we'll start listing. I don't think we should start listing because then, you know, we don't want no spoilers, I guess, for our list maybe. But you could find us at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. You could follow me on Twitter at Ricardo Ultreras, which is Ricardo spelled the regular way. Last name spelled Ultreras.
You can find me at Jenei, Jehneigh.
I'm at @AdamScott. It's @AN_AdamScott, one word. Or go to my website, Shooting the Script. It's www.shootingthescript.wordpress.com.
Yes, and you could also work starting when you hear this podcast. The link will be on our website to his website,
and vice versa.
Yeah, and also. Again, for the listeners who haven't gone to the website and seen our pictures, this isn't the Adam Scott from...
Oh, yeah, no. Do people think that...
Maybe.
I don't really sound anything
they're like
him.
Adam Scott is... How did they get that guy for their podcast?
Maybe this is that Adam Scott.
Oh, yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Tell your friends.
Me and Amy Poehler, we go way back.
Yeah.
come listen to the show, and I'll tell you all about working with Will Ferrell. He's great. Actually, I have worked with Will Ferrell in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and he is great.
There you go. Nice. So that's coming from Adam Scott. And Adam Scott. And Kevin.
You can follow me at K Zuberbeer. That's Zuberbeer.
And that's K Zuberbeer.
K Zuberbeer.
The letter K and then Zuberbeer. All right. So again, thank you for listening and have a good week.